All right, take your Bibles tonight. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. While you're turning there, let me make mention, if you're needing to register for the father-son breakfast or the ladies' retreat, if you want to register, there'll be somebody in the foyer that can take that registration, or of course, you can do it all online there at fbceaton.com. But if you'd like to do that tonight after the service, there will be somebody in the foyer that can do that, right? Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1 because I think it's important that we get the whole context here of what is happening, and then we'll read down to verse number 10, right? And so I will read a verse, and then you will read a verse, right? And then I'll read a verse, then you'll read a verse, okay? And we'll do that as we go down through verse number 10, okay? Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, man, you guys are doing so good. I don't even have to read along with you. You know, I feel like a proud parent. You know, you're learning to read so well. That's great. That's wonderful. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we're looking here at Hebrews chapter 11, dealing with this issue of faith and living faith, living by faith. And God's desire is for Christians to not just be saved by faith, but to live by faith. And last week, we looked in verses 4 through 6, that this faith that he gives as examples of both Abel and Enoch was a faith that pleases God. When we live by faith, that pleases God. Abel offered the sacrifices by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. And the Bible says that it pleased God. And of course, many times we will hear verse number 6 quoted, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we talk about that, a faith that pleases God. And so if we're not living by faith, anything we're not doing of faith, then we're not pleasing God. In fact, he tells us, Paul tells us in the book of Romans, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, right? So if we're not living by faith, we're not pleasing God. If we're not pleasing God, guess what that is? That's sin. Because God desires the just to live by faith, right? And so he's been looking here from verses 4 through 6 about faith that pleases God. And here in verse number 7, we're going to begin looking at a faith that obeys God. Faith that obeys God. And he begins with Noah here, right? So he's talked about Abel, he's talked about Enoch. Now he comes to Noah. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah is an example of a faith that obeyed God. Noah had faith in God, and he obeyed. So we're going to look at this verse number 7 here. We're going to break this down a little bit because this is such an important verse. It's interesting when you go through Scripture how many times Noah is referred to throughout Scripture, right? Noah is referred to many times throughout Scripture, and we'll see some of those times this evening. But notice, it says that Noah, and of course we all know Noah was the one who built the ark, right? Noah built the ark. But the Bible tells us there's a specific reason why he did this, right? Again, we've just read, without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? So God's desire is that we live by faith. And here's this example, right? Remember what we read in verse number 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So their faith, right? Their faith is that testifying of what they've done. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Prepared an ark. So Noah, he's going to prepare an ark. He's going to build an ark. But let's notice a few things about this verse here. First of all, notice he was warned of God. Right? It says, being warned of God. God warns Noah. He gives him instruction about building this ark, right? And again, I don't think if you understand the time period that we're dealing with in the days of Noah, I don't think they were just, I don't think they had ark building factories. You know, arks weren't just something that people were just building all over the place, okay? And so God is telling Noah to build an ark, and he's warning Noah of judgment that is going to come. He's telling Noah to build an ark, and he's giving him this warning. This is what he says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. So because God is going to judge the world for its wickedness, he's warning Noah to build this ark. Now, why Noah? Why warn Noah here, right? Well, let's hold our place here in Hebrews chapter 11, and let's go back to Genesis chapter number 6. Again, we're talking about Noah, so let's go back and look what the Bible says about Noah here in Genesis chapter 6. This is when Noah kind of comes onto the scene. In Genesis chapter number 6, notice in verse number 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And watch what this says, and Noah walked with God. Now, I love when we read Scripture because when we look at what Scripture says, we understand these words that we're reading here in the book of Genesis, these are not Moses' words, right? Whose words are these? These are God's words, right? Yeah, Moses penned them, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So God is the one that, these are God's words, okay? And this is what God says about Noah, just as we saw last week where the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him, right? Now we come to Noah here, and it says that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. The reason why God is warning Noah is because here's a man that's walking with God. Here's a man that's walking with God, and God says, hey, I believe I can talk with Noah about this. I can explain to Noah what's going to happen because Noah was a man that walked with God. I wonder how many times we get, we might get discouraged because we don't feel like maybe we're hearing from God. And maybe, can I say, maybe one of the reasons is because we're not walking with God. If we're not willing to walk with God, it's going to be hard to hear from God, right? I mean, here we're living in this time of Noah here. Look, there were literally millions of people on the earth at this time. Noah was the one that God talked to. Noah was the one who was walking with God. His faith is seen by what he did. And it says he took heed to what God said, right? God says, I'm going to bring judgment upon the earth. And so, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And so he takes heed to what God says, and he obeys. Now, again, hold your place here in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to be kind of flipping back and forth from Genesis to the book of Hebrews here, right? But notice something else that he says here. Not only was he warned of God, but notice what it says. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now remember, when we go back to verse number 1 about what faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what are those next two words? Not seen, right? The evidence of things not seen, okay? Just like, again, we understand that Jesus Christ has died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, we have faith in that, and we believe that Jesus Christ is going to come, but we don't know when he's going to come, we haven't seen that yet, but we believe, we have faith that he's going to come, right? And this is what he said, that's what faith is, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so this is what he says about God's warning of Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. In other words, there was no visible sign of it, right? There was nothing that could be a basis of calculation that it was going to occur, right? You have these sirens that go off, right? These tornado sirens, right? What are they trying to do? Tornado sirens are there for a purpose. What are they trying to do? They're trying to warn you, right? And so they have machines and all kinds of stuff that can predict possibly where this tornado is going to come from, right? You have earthquakes, right? They have these I don't know even what you call it, those little bobby things that go up and down on the paper, right? Anybody know what those? What is it? Seismograph, thank you. I appreciate that, right? Seismograph, you know, they got the little lines waving on, and when they can tell, hey, there's possibly going to be an earthquake, right? There was no evidence of a flood that was going to come. There was no evidence. It wasn't like all of a sudden the sky was getting darker, and it wasn't like the earth was starting to shake. No, there was no evidence. No evidence at all that there was going to be a coming judgment. No evidence at all that there was a flood that was going to come. There had never been one before to recall to memory, right? I mean, the reason why people are concerned about tornadoes is because we can look and see what they've done in the past. We can look at what earthquakes have done. We can look at what tsunamis have done. We can see the evidence of what they've done in the past. And so it causes us to take warning and to be aware of those warnings. There was no warning about a flood. There had never been a flood before. There was no basis to be able to say, hey, this is going to come, right? There was no evidence for any of this. And so this admonition that God is giving, that there is going to be judgment, was given years before the flood. And of course, long before there could have been any natural indication that it would occur, right? It wasn't like rain started to fall and God says, oh, by the way, I'm going to bring a flood. No. This is years before when God says, hey, I'm going to bring judgment, so Noah, I want you to build an ark. God, what evidence do you have that there's going to be a flood? God, what is a flood? Right? I mean, you're wanting me to build this ark, and of course you can go back to the book of Genesis, you can read the dimensions of it and everything. God, there's nothing been built like this before. Why do I need to build this? What is the purpose of this? No, there's nothing like it. The Bible says that simply Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, prepared an ark. By faith, he simply believed God. And again, think of the faith it took him to build this boat, right? Now, I know, you know, there's little nursery storybooks and things like this, and they've got, little cartoons, and you've got the little boat, and the animals are sticking their head out the window. I was just kind of Googling some pictures of the ark, and my daughter was looking over my shoulder, and I said, look at this one. And no joke, right? It's got the ark, and it's got, windows all over the ark, and of course the animals are on top, on the deck, lounging, not really lounging, but, they're up on top, and they're looking out the windows, and I started to notice, I was like, wait a minute, and whoever had done this picture, all of the animals were crying. I was like, what? And then I looked, and they were looking down into the water at all the other animals that did not make it. And the animals are, I'm like, are you kidding me? No joke, I'm serious. The animals were crying. I mean, every single one had the tears. I'm like, this is ridiculous. right? I mean, not only that there weren't that, you know, the boat was probably much bigger than that and all that, but I mean, come on, really? But we've allowed the world to kind of dictate some of these things. But when you think about how big this ark was supposed to be, 300 cubits, almost 500 feet long, right? How many of you have been down to the Ark Encounter down in Kentucky? Anybody? Yeah, I'm sure a lot of you have. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you read about it in the Bible, and you read about, you know, the dimensions and things and how wide it was and how tall it was, and you just kind of read about it, but you don't really imagine what it really is until you kind of stand next to that one down in Kentucky, and you're just like, oh my goodness, right? It wasn't a little storybook type where the animals are all hanging off the sides and the giraffe's heads are sticking through, you know, a hole in the top or whatever. You know, I even saw one where it was a comic one where it's got a picture of the boat and it's got a bunch of holes in it, and Noah's standing there and saying, I wish God wouldn't have said to bring the woodpeckers. You know, I mean, you know, they come up with all kinds of things. But I think really, do we have the picture of the ark there? I mean, again, there was no photographer back there when Noah built the ark, right? But I think what they have done there at Answers in Genesis or whatever that's called, the Ark Encounter, whatever, I think they've done a very good job of at least showing the size of it, right? I mean, it's massive, this massive, huge thing. I know some people call it a boat or whatever. I don't know if it's necessarily a boat. It's almost more like a barge, right? I mean, it's just massive. But think of the faith it took for Noah to build this boat, this barge, whatever you want to call it, this ark. Think about the time that it took him. Years and years and years, over 50 years to build this thing, right? Think about the money, right? Again, we're talking, you know, we're talking thousands of years ago. Where in the world did he get the money or the, I mean, to build this thing? I mean, we just think, oh, you know, you just throw some 2x4s together or whatever. No, no, this was a massive project. We're talking about a worldwide flood that's going to be happening here. I guarantee you, you want to make sure you put the boat together right the first time. There's no do-over on this one, okay? I mean, so just the time and the money and the effort and everything that went into this, right? I mean, think about it. Just all that would have went into this. Years and years and years, 50, 60, 70 years to build this ark. Exactly the way God said to build it, right? And in all that time, right? All that time. How many of you are 50 and up? Just 50 and up, right? Can you imagine for 50 years you've been building this thing? 50 years, 60 years, 70 years you've been building this thing, right? Why? Because God told you to. God told you to build it, right? You've been building this boat. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And no one listens to you. No one believes you. No one listens to a word you're saying. It's interesting. In fact, Jesus uses Noah as an example. Again, Noah is mentioned so many different times throughout Scripture, but in Luke chapter 17, in verse number 26, it says, Jesus says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." So think about this. They've been building this ark for 50, 60, 70 years, whatever the time is. And everybody is just doing what about life? Just going on. Life's just continuing to go on. They're eating, drinking, giving in marriage, right? I mean, just life goes on. We're not really concerned about crazy Noah over here. I mean, Noah's building this ark. He's been doing it for 30 years now, and he's not even done. I mean, you know, I don't know if they had tour buses going by to see crazy Noah and the ark that he was building, right? I mean, what would you think if there's no evidence of a flood? There's no evidence of anything that Noah has said, and yet here's Noah and his sons building this massive ark, and nobody believes him. Nobody listens. And it says there's an interesting phrase here, right? It's really interesting what he says here. He says in verse number 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, he prepared an ark for the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. Now, what an interesting phrase. He prepared an ark by the which he condemned the world. What he did in building the ark, God says, condemned the world. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying Noah condemned the world. God's the one that said he was going to bring judgment. But God says here that by what Noah did, he condemned the world. Can I tell you this? No one likes to be condemned. No one likes to be condemned. No one likes to be said, you know, you're not good enough. You're not going to make it. No, nobody likes that, right? But think about it. What Noah did by building the ark is exactly that. I mean, you don't think people didn't like what Noah was saying by building the ark? Think about what Noah is saying just by building the ark. And you don't think people like that? In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, God calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Now think about this. God calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Here he says that by building the ark, he has condemned the world. So think about this, right? Noah's out here building. God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. All right, God, I'll do it. I don't know what it is. I don't know why we're doing it. I don't know what a flood is. I don't know any of this, but I'm going to do it by faith because you told me to. I'm going to do it. God tells him exactly what to do. You can go back and read Genesis. You can tell, he says the dimensions, all this kind of stuff, what material to make it out of, how to seal it up, all of it. God tells him everything. Noah does it. You're going to tell me that when Noah starts this, right? Again, can you show that picture of the ark again? Think about how much wood it took to build this ark. How many trees, right? Who's cutting these trees down? Who's planing all these trees? Who's getting it all the way it needs to be? Right? I mean, who's doing all of this? You're going to tell me that by all the trees and everything that Noah's felling and all the people that are you know, planing the trees and getting them in the exact shape and everything, you're going to tell me that nobody's going to come up and ask Noah what in the world he's doing? Sure, they're going to come up and say, Noah, what are you doing, man? No doubt, they come up and, no, what's going on? I see you got all these trees out here. You're cutting these trees and you're getting them planed and everything. No, what are you doing? I thought I'd build a summer home. No, that's a really big summer home, man. It's like, 500 feet long. Well, I got three sons and, plan on lots of grandkids, No, I mean, he's like, hey, let me tell you what God said. God said he's going to destroy the world. God said he's going to destroy the world. Why, Noah? Well, let's go back and look. Look back in Genesis chapter 6 again. In Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Think about this. From Adam, now all the way almost here to Noah, God says, it has grieved me that I have made man. Everything that they have done is wicked. Now, please don't misunderstand this. I don't believe that every person on the planet at this time was wicked, but I do believe the majority of them were, right? I don't think that Noah was maybe the only one that believed. I'm sure there were others, right? And we'll get to that in just a moment, right? But here's the thing. Throughout this whole time, God says the earth is continually getting wicked and more wicked, and every imagination of the thought of their heart is only evil continually. And God says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. God says, I cannot believe what they've done. Now, please understand, God knows everything. God knew what was going to happen. But in all of this, all that man has done, God says they are only evil continually. And so God tells Noah, this is what I'm going to do. And so this is what Noah is telling the people. Noah, why are you building this ark? Well, look what he says in verse number 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Right? So he talks about this. And then jump down to verse number 17. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So this is what God tells Noah. Noah, build the ark because this is what's going to happen. This is why you're building the ark. I'm going to send a flood. You may not understand what a flood is, Noah, but that's okay. You just build the ark. All right, God, I'm going to build the ark. So Noah starts cutting the trees, and his sons, they start helping him, and they're building this ark, and people, Noah, what's going on, man? Well, I'm sorry, God's going to judge the earth. What do you mean God's going to judge the earth? Well, because the world is wicked. Noah, are you trying to say I'm wicked? You trying to say that the lifestyle I'm living isn't right? You trying to say you're better than me? Can you just imagine all the things that Noah must have heard? Look, we might live in the 21st century, but you're not going to tell me that people in that day didn't think the same way people in this day think. You're not going to tell me they wouldn't have said to Noah some of the same things they would say to people today. Of course they would. You think of all the criticism, you think of all the scoffing and the mocking and everything, and Noah saying, hey, Noah, what's going on? When's that judgment coming? Hey, man, you've been doing this for 10 years. There's no judgment. By the way, Noah, you're still not through with that boat either, man. I mean, how long do you think it's going to take for this judgment to come? Year after year after year, Noah just faithfully builds this boat. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I could have done it. 50 years, 60 years, 70 years building this ark, and all the laughing and the mocking and the scoffing, and nobody listens. Nobody cares. Can I say, when you live by faith and you walk after righteousness, the world isn't going to like it. Why? Because it condemns them. This is what God is saying. By Noah building the ark, it condemned the world. Not brought judgment upon them. God said the judgment was already going to come. But simply because of Noah building it, it is pointing out their wickedness. It is pointing out that they are not right with God. It is pointing out that God is not happy with them. It is pointing out that God is going to bring judgment. And when Christians try to follow righteousness and they try to live by faith, it condemns the world. When they ask why you don't talk like them or why you don't do what they do, and then you tell them why, it condemns them. Why don't you talk like this, and why don't you have fun like we do? Well, I don't do that because this is what God... What are you trying to do? You're trying to say you're better than us? You trying to think that you're somehow better than everybody else? That you're trying to say that my lifestyle is wrong? You're trying to say that I can't please God with the lifestyle I'm living? And by simply living by faith, by following righteousness, it condemns the world. This is what Noah did. Simply by building the ark, he condemned the world. Remember what we just read in verse number 6? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, where faith is rejected or resisted, it leads to condemnation. When faith is rejected, when somebody says, no, I'm not going to believe that, I'm going to reject that, then you're condemned. I'm not going to believe that there's going to come a flood, Noah. I see you finally finished it. It took you 70 years, man, but you finally finished it. Great job, you know, woo-hoo. Well, you're going to get in? Are you kidding me? What flood? I'm not going to listen to this loony old man. No way. I'm not going to follow him. I'm not going to get into this boat. What do you think my family's going to think? What do you think my friends are going to think if I listen to Noah and get in there with him? It's not always easy to stand for right. It's not easy to live by faith. But God says he wants the just to live by faith. We have this idea, well, just living the Christian life is going to be easy. No, it's not always easy. It's not always just a simple thing to do. There's going to be times simply by our faith, by living the way that we believe God wants us to live, it causes those who do not know God or those who are away from God to get mad. And it's not like we've done anything wrong. We're just simply doing what God's told us to do. We're just trying to trust God and live the way God wants us to live. But because it's not the way they want us to, it's because we're not doing what they want us to do, it brings condemnation upon them. It condemns them. It's interesting when you read, and again, this is why I say I don't believe during this time of Noah building the ark that Noah was the only righteous person. If you take into consideration the years and stuff, you'll find that, of course, we know that Adam lived 930 years, right? Adam was 930 years old when he died. You know that Adam died only 126 years before Noah was born. Only 126 years before Noah was born, right? So think with me about this. If Adam is 930 years old, right? And then 126 years later, Noah is born. And we know the flood came when Noah was 600 years old. I can tell you exactly how old the world was when the flood came. Well, not, I mean, to the day. But if you take those numbers, you'll find out that the earth is about 1,656 years old. So think about this. You're talking from the time of Adam, right? And of course, Adam has Seth, and you have many that believe, and you've got Enoch here, a man that walked with God, and Methuselah, and Lamech, and then Noah. No doubt, there were these others that believed as well, and I don't know, maybe in those 50 years before they died or whatever, maybe they were able to have a part in what Noah was doing before they died. We know Methuselah died shortly before the flood came. Methuselah, who 969 years, right? I don't know. Maybe Methuselah was out there, and maybe he had a hammer, and he was like, Noah, where do you want this thing, Noah? I'm gonna help you. I don't know if he talked like that, but I'm just. I mean, 969 years. I mean, come on, right? I mean. He may have been out there helping Noah too. But by the time the flood came, guess what? There was only 8 righteous. By the time the flood came, there was only 8 that believed God. There was only 8 that had faith to get into the ark. All the others, we don't believe what God's going to do. We don't believe there's a flood going to come. There's no evidence of it. The sky is not turning black. There's no earth rumbling. What do you mean, Noah? You've been saying this for 60 years. You've been saying this for 70 years. But we know the end of the story, don't we? Noah was the one that got into the ark. After all the criticism and all the mocking and all the rebuke and everything like that, Noah was the one that got in the ark, and Noah was the one that was saved. Everybody else died. Because he had faith. He believed what God said. Now I want you to go back to Hebrews with me, because there's another interesting phrase here. He says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, in other words, that reverence, that awe of God, he wasn't afraid of the judgment, he was doing it out of respect and honor for God, prepared an ark, and notice this, to the saving of his house. To the saving of his house. I find it interesting that many people say today it's impossible to live right in a wicked world. You just can't live right in a wicked world. The world's just too wicked to live right. You're just going to have to go along with what they're doing because it's just not possible to live right. I mean, just look at how society's going. It's just not possible to live right. Well, even if society never did right, does that mean we don't live right? Even if society doesn't follow God, does that mean we just go along with them and just stop following God? I mean, think about it. Again, if you think about it, Enoch, last week we saw that Enoch walked with God, and his faith pleased God so much that God took him. You understand? Enoch was in that same world, that wicked, sinful world that Every imagination of their thought was continual evil. Enoch was in that same world. Here's a great example of a man that had faith that not only affected him, talking about Noah here, but it also affected his family. And can I say tonight, your faith or lack of faith will affect your family one way or the other. I'm not talking about salvation. I hope you're saved tonight. Obviously, that's the most important thing. But I'm talking about whether you live by faith or whether you choose not to live by faith will affect your family one way or the other. It will. Whether you choose to follow God or you choose to say, you know what, I'm just not going to, you know, I'm not going to go along with it. You know, it's so hard in this wicked world. I'm just going to do what the world says. It will affect your family one way or the other. Because there's another example of a man who lived among the wickedness of the world. And just like Noah, God told him he was also going to bring judgment on those around him. He was a righteous man living among the wickedness of the world. And God said, hey, I'm going to bring judgment on those that are around you. I'm going to bring judgment on the wicked. The problem was, though, that he couldn't even save his family. His family didn't believe him. In fact, this is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19. He says, he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. If you don't know who I'm referring to the man by the name of Lot. Lot was a man who I believe was saved. In fact, again, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7, the Bible calls him a just man. He calls him just Lot. I believe he was saved. I believe he had faith in God. And so here you have two men, both living in a wicked world. Noah living before the flood, Lot living after the flood. But both men living in a wicked society. Both men living in wickedness all around them. And God says to both men, I'm going to bring judgment. God says, Noah, I'm going to bring judgment. Build an ark. Noah says, yes, Lord, I'll build an ark. God says, Lot, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Get out. Well, I just really like it here. Lot, get out. You know what's sad is that the angels that God sent literally had to take Lot by the arms and by the hands and drag him and his family out of the city. And this is what he says. When he went to his sons-in-laws who had married his other daughters, and no doubt they probably had children and Lot had grandchildren, he goes and he tells his sons-in-law, hey, God said he's going to bring judgment. We got to get out. They laughed at him. They mocked him. He seemed to them as one who mocked. Why? Did he not have the same faith that Noah had? Did he not believe God the same way that Noah believed God? Sure. What was the difference? Lot didn't live it. Lot didn't live by faith. Noah said, God, I don't know what a flood is. No idea what a flood is. God, never seen anything like this before, 400 feet, 500 feet long, this many feet wide, this many feet high, all these different rooms. Never seen anything like this before, God. But if you tell me to do it, I'll do it. You know, Lot, God didn't ask Lot to build anything. God just asked Lot to leave the city so he could destroy it. And Lot starts making excuses. Why not to? Goes and tries to tell his own family to leave, and he seemed as one that mocked. Both men had faith for salvation, but one man lived his faith. The other man hid his faith. Hid his faith. One man saved his family. One man lost his family. That's quite a testimony, isn't it? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Only six other people besides Noah and his wife got on the ark. Only six. His three sons and their wives. But he saved his family from the destruction because he lived by faith. Lot lost his family because he chose to hide his faith. You understand, the greatest way that you can witness to your family is not by cramming the gospel down their throat. Oh, it's important to share the gospel. That's true. That's absolutely true. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the greatest way that you can witness to your family is simply by living in front of them and letting them see that your faith is real. Letting them see that even though, hey, for 50 years, can you imagine what his sons must have been thinking? You know, Dad, hey, it's been 50 years and we haven't finished this thing yet. Dad, you sure? You sure this is what we need to do? You sure this is what God said? It's been 50 years, Dad. Listen, Shan, don't worry. Japheth, don't worry. God told me this. God said judgment's going to come. We need to finish this. All right, Dad, if you say so. We're going to trust you. We're going to follow your faith. And because Noah was willing to live by faith, he saved his house. Can I ask you a question tonight of something I think that gets looked over a lot? Where did Noah learn to walk by faith? Where did Noah learn to walk by faith? I don't think he just woke up one morning and said, oh, I think I'm going to walk by faith today. Noah learned to walk by faith, no doubt. I guarantee you, Noah was told of his great-great-grandfather, Enoch, who walked with God. He walked with God so close. Can you imagine sitting down, being Noah, and listening to your grandfather Lamech, or excuse me, your grandfather Methuselah, tell you about what happened to your great-grandfather? What happened to great-granddad? He just disappeared. What do you mean he disappeared? I mean, he just disappeared. What? How'd that happen? Man, he loved God so much. I mean, he walked with God every day. He was always talking about God. I mean, Noah, you know how wicked this world is. I mean, you know how difficult it is to do what's right in this wicked world, but he loved God so much. He was always talking about God. He was always walking with God, and all of a sudden, one day, God just, whoop. No, Dad, that's not true. No, Granddad Methuselah, you know, that can't be. No, I'm serious. That's what happened. He walked with God. Imagine being little Noah and hearing that story and thinking, I wonder if I could walk with God like that. I wonder, do you think God could use me like that? You think these young people sitting here in these front rows, where are they going to learn to walk with God? Oh, we read about Noah, we're like, oh man, Noah had great faith and he walked. Where did he learn it from? Oh, we read about Enoch, and he was translated, he walked with God, and Methuselah, and Lamech, but we never really give the credit to them for teaching Noah how important it was to walk with God. And when the time came, God said, all right, it's time to destroy the earth. There's nobody else righteous, but there's a man by the name of Noah that walked with God. And Noah's faith was so great, it was a faith that obeyed God, even among the most ridiculous thing that probably Noah had ever heard in his life. He obeyed God. And when we will live by faith, when you will live by faith in front of your family, in front of your children, when you will live real faith, not just coming to church on Sunday and be like, okay, this is our faith, and you go home and it's all different. No. We're talking about real faith, living by faith, a faith that pleases God, a faith that obeys God. Hey, kids, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to do these things. We're not going to say these things. Well, how come, Dad? Because God said so. Well, I don't understand why we can't do it because Billy over there does it and Susie over here and they do it. Well, that's all right. Well, you're not them. You're in our family and we're gonna do what God says. Well, you, Dad, are you saying that they're not? No, that we're not saying that they're not as good as this is what God has told us and this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna be obedient to God. Well, God, Dad, I don't understand. Mom, I don't understand. It's okay. You don't have to understand right now. You just trust me. We're going to obey God. We're going to do what God says. And when you get older and you start learning that you can walk by faith and you can trust God, you can do those, you're going to be able to see God do the same things in your life. Noah walked with God. That's what he says. Noah walked with God because he saw the example of some others that were walking with God before him. And because of seeing their faith, Noah was able to have a faith that obeyed God. Can I ask you tonight? You have a faith that obeys God? You have a faith that pleases God? Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. Abel pleased God. Noah obeyed God. We're going to see next week, Abraham obeys God. Why? Because of their faith. They had a faith that was willing to trust God no matter what God said. Do you understand? We're not any different than they are. We're not any different. They lived a couple thousand years ago. That's true. But can I tell you something? We have more of the Word of God than they did. We know more about what God has said and what God has done than they ever did. Why don't we live by faith? Because if we don't, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God says if we're not living by faith, we're not pleasing Him. And as Christians, God's desire is for each one of us as Christians to live by faith to please God. Oh, we can think, oh, Noah and the ark, that's just a kid's story. Oh, it's a great story. It's a great kid's story. But can I tell you, there's a lot to learn from Noah. There's a lot of adults that need to learn from Noah. And what Noah has done, and how Noah lived by faith and obeyed God, so that we too are able to obey God by living by faith. Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord, it's so important, Lord, that we learn to live by faith, a faith that pleases you, a faith that obeys. Lord, I cannot even imagine what Noah must have went through, what his sons must have heard, all of the ridicule and the scoffing and mocking and jeering and all that they went through. But yet he stayed true. He stayed faithful to what you told him to do. And he built an ark to the saving of his house. Lord, I pray for parents tonight, moms and dads and grandparents, that we would live our faith in front of our children and our grandchildren. Lord, to live a faith that they can learn from, that as they get older, they'll be able to live by faith and walk with God, and God will take them and use them as God did with Noah. So, Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to truly desire to live by faith. Lord, I know it's not always easy, and I know sometimes it's hard. But Lord, if we'll live by faith, we're able to please you with our life. If we'll live by faith, we'll be obedient to what you've told us in your word. So Father, I pray you'd help us to live by faith. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this evening, just quietly, the piano's going to play softly, and maybe tonight, maybe God's spoken to your heart about something. Maybe there's an area where you know